You might like to have your Bible open at that second reading that we had from 1 Peter. Shall we just pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a living word. We thank you that there are so many ways in which we can read it today and listen to it. But we pray this morning that by your presence here with us and by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will speak to each one of us individually and together as a church corporately. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have some friends whose neighbour works for Bentley as a designer. And she was about to go on holiday this month and was asked to cancel her holiday because Bentley are bringing out a new car. You might be interested to know. Get your name down. And as the designer of the car, they couldn't move forward without her. And so she had to cancel her holiday. Because, of course, you see, the designer is most important. Nothing else can happen till the design is right. And in these first few verses from 1 Peter, Peter describes the Father, our Father God, really as the great designer, or the one, as it were, with a master plan. God had a plan destined by him, and he had a plan. And that plan is actually seen right the way through the Bible, from Genesis right the way through to Revelation. In fact, we did a series many, many, many years ago now when we were at Bible College, and we did a series called The Thin Red Line, and we showed how God's plan of salvation came right through from Genesis to Revelation. Well, Peter here describes God, Father God, as the great designer, the one with a master plan. A plan to choose you and me, who he created and made for a purpose. In fact, Peter, in these two verses, gives us a picture of the work of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The blood of Jesus, we are told, is sprinkled upon us. And in the Old Testament, of course, nothing could happen, no forgiveness without the sprinkling of blood. It's a means of our forgiveness and our salvation. And then the work of the Holy Spirit is sanctifying us to make us more like Jesus. So there we have, and it's all for the purpose that God designed at the beginning, he destined for us, and that is to live a life of obedience to Jesus Christ, to live as Jesus wants us to live. We could, of course, carry on and use the analogy of a car, a Bentley, if you like, if you can remember what one looks like. We don't see them very often now. But in very simple terms, and of course, all analogies only serve us up to a point, it's as though God the Father is designer and maker of the car. Jesus gives us the keys and the right to drive the car. And the Holy Spirit is the engine and the diesel to empower the car to move. All three persons of the Godhead are involved in the life of Christians. But of course, our brief today is more than these few verses that we've read. It is to look at Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1, 2 and 3 John, and the book of Jude. Well, I hope you've managed to read them, but if you haven't, don't give up. Keep reading. And you're not going to remember everything that you read or listen to, so make sure there are some nuggets there, nuggets of truth that you grasp hold of. Maybe write them down and keep and say, yeah, that verse God used to speak to me. And these letters, we're going to leave Hebrews for a moment. These letters, so James and Peter and John and Jude, are sometimes called the Epistles General or the Catholic letters. And the reason is because they weren't written to specific individuals or even specific churches, but they were read by a wide range of people, a wide audience, hence the name Catholic letters, which it sometimes says. We use that same word, Catholic, don't we, meaning universal in our creeds. So we have James, probably not written by the Apostle James, but probably by the brother of Jesus, who played an important role in the Council of Jerusalem that we read about in the Acts. when they were concerned about whether they were obligated to the law of Moses. And then we've got, of course, 1 and 2 Peter, written by Peter that we all know and love. And it's thought, perhaps, that 1 Peter, if you read the Greek in 1 Peter is much better than in 2 Peter. So they think that probably Silas helped him write that, so that it's better Greek, better grammatically. But that doesn't really matter, does it? The first letter of Peter was written to Christians who were facing persecution, and the second, more about the false teaching. And then we have the three letters of John. John, who talks so much about love in his gospel, and of course he wrote Revelation as well, but he talks much about love in his letters. Brotherly love in 1 John 3, and divine and human love in 1 John and 4 to chapter 5. Much more about a practical advice of what it means to live out that love. And then Jude, they're not sure actually who wrote Jude, nobody seems to quite agree, but some think it was probably Judas, not Iscariot of course, but Judas son of James, who was one of the disciples. But all of the letters together were written to encourage and support the Christians. And it's thought that some of these letters would have been used by traveling evangelists as a kind of sermon, so they would have been read out to different groups of Christians. But then I want to come on to Hebrews, because it is a whistle-stop tour. And it reminded me, I was thinking the other day, of quite a vivid childhood memory in my teenage years, and my older sister, quite a number of years older than me. And she said to me, she was in trouble with Mum. I can't remember exactly why she was in trouble, but she was in trouble. And she said to me, "Well, you're in Mum's good books. You speak to her on my behalf." Because Mum had said that Carol couldn't go out this particular night with her boyfriend. And Carol said, "You know, you speak to Mum." So I did. And lo and behold, she was allowed to go out. I was, as it were, the mediator. And of course, today we talk a lot about mediation. We have family courts with mediators to try to reconcile families together. We have mediators between different countries. But in the book of Hebrews, we have here declared that Jesus Christ is our mediator. He is our mediator, and we use that word in the communion service, of course. And of course, Jesus as God's son was always in good books, as it were, to the Father. But it will help us to understand the book of Hebrews a little bit more if we understand who it was written to and why it was written. Again, we're not sure of who Hebrews was written by. Some think it was Paul, some think it was Apollos and Barnabas, but whatever, it is part of our scripture. Well, it was written to Greek-speaking Jewish converts to Christianity. I'll say that again because it's a bit hard to grasp, isn't it? Greek-speaking Jewish converts to Christianity. And they would have attended Greek synagogues, Greek-speaking synagogues, I should say, to begin with. And they wanted to understand the relationship between their new faith and the old ways of Judaism. And for us who don't have a Jewish background, it is more difficult to understand because we don't have that Jewish background. But in Hebrews 1:1, it tells that there are two phases. One phase was in the Old Testament when God spoke to us in many and different ways through the Old Testament prophets. But now it declares that God has spoken through Jesus Christ, his son. So we understand here that our God is a God who wants to communicate with his people. And God has spoken in the past in various and different ways, but now the final phase, the phase that we are living in, is when God speaks through his son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus is named as our mediator. And another name that is given throughout the book of Hebrews about Jesus is that he is our high priest. And to understand this and the meaning of the Old Testament, we have to understand that, of course, theirs was a sacrificial system for the forgiveness of sins. And once a year, the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and he would give an animal sacrifice first of all for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus, of course, is the true high priest. He comes, he's different, because he went to the cross to die himself, not offering an animal sacrifice, but offering himself without sin. So unlike the high priest of the Old Testament, he was different. He was all-sufficient sacrifice for our sin. Hebrews also tells us that he's a very compassionate high priest, a God who can empathize with us. So when we're going through difficult and trying and tempting times, we know that God empathizes with us. He is a compassionate God. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, but without sin." But he knows what it's like. And so the author to the Hebrews, letter to the Hebrews, shows us that Jesus is superior to all the high priests that have gone before in the Old Testament. Yes, there's that link there, and there is a relationship with the old and the new, but it is different. And for those of you who have listened, you will probably be wondering what this reference is to Melchizedek, the priest. Melchizedek was mentioned in the book of Genesis, Genesis 14, if you want to look later. We don't know a lot about him, but he was superior to Abraham in that it was Melchizedek who blessed Abraham, not the other way around. And Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. And what it's saying is we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, after the order of Melchizedek. So what the letter to the Hebrews is saying is Jesus is much better than all the Levitical high priests that have existed who came down from Abraham, who couldn't deal with sin, because Jesus is different. He's after the order of Melchizedek. Don't worry if you don't understand all that, but the Jews would have understood it. They would have had that background of understanding what that meant. So what we get in Hebrews is that Jesus is our mediator, our high priest, one sufficient sacrifice. There's no need for any more. And then it says in that few verses that we read from Hebrews, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. He sat down. That is a position of someone who is a ruler. Because his work on the cross was completed. His work of sin bearing is complete. In Hebrews 10:13-14, it says, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And Hebrews 7:25 says, not only is he sitting down as ruler, he is interceding for us. Wow, I just love that. He says it in Romans 2, in Romans 8:34. Jesus is praying for you and me right now. He's there at the right hand of the Father, praying for you, whatever. And he knows all about you. Nobody sitting perhaps next to you, maybe your nearest and dearest, doesn't know what's troubling you. But God knows. And he, Jesus, our ruler, our mediator, our high priest, is praying for you, interceding for you. He is indeed our mediator and advocate. And only the high priest could enter the most holy place once a year. That holy place in the Old Testament was where it contained the Ark of the Covenant. With this in mind, the writer to the Hebrews says, but Jesus is the high priest, the Son of God. In Hebrews 1 verse 2 that was read to us, divine, created all things, heir of all things, reflection of God's glory. That's what it says in our NRSV. But actually, I like it better in a better translation, which says exact representation. You remember Jesus said, and it's in John's Gospel, he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Exact representation, not just a reflection, really. And Jesus was without sin. So, because of all that Christ has done, we can enter the most holy place, into God's presence. That's Hebrews 10:19. Because of all Christ has done, we can enter into God's presence by the blood of Jesus. That it would just be absolutely amazing to those people who are hearing it the first time. And it should be amazing to us today. And another verse you probably have picked up on as you've listened to Hebrews is, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But that once for all sacrifice has been made for each one of us. He is our mediator, our advocate. He is our high priest. We need no other. Pray that indeed he is your high priest and mediator. And so I want to finish with a verse from Jude, which is one of my favorite verses. It was one I gave to my dad, I remember, a long time ago, and it spoke to me too. If you want to turn to it, it's Jude, and there's only one chapter, so it's verse 24. And it says this, He is able, my God is able. What comforting words they are. My God is able. Able for what? To keep you from falling. When we doubt, when we have trials and difficulties, we need to turn to our God who is able, because he will stop us from falling. And then to make us stand, to make you stand. Stand where? On the rock of Jesus Christ. And then, glorious, to present you without blemish, into his glorious presence. Isn't that wonderful? That should be an encouragement to us all this morning. God is able to keep you from falling, to make you stand, and to present you without blemish into his glorious presence. Amen.